Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Hello.
Willkommen.
What'd you call me?
Oh, you've heard me call you that before. It's in your yearbook, isn't it, when you graduated from high school?
Yeah. You wrote some nasty things.
I don't think we went to the same high school. No, we're actually not the same age, so we wouldn't have graduated at the same time
Rich
either.
Is at least 10, 15 years older than me.
But yet you look older, so.
That's right.
Go figure.
Kids do that.
Well, we're not going to say it. We're here again.
We're back.
Show number... We never do that. We never actually keep track of our shows, and it's woefully, horrifically out of order on the website.
What we should do is make this the all-important last show in single digits.
Well, it'll be show number nine, mm-hmm. But technically it's performance 11, because we have a 7-A and a beta.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's
the official show number nine, though.
It is. Official show numero nueve.
Isn't that a dish that I got the other day that upset my stomach?
I think it might be.
Yeah, the number nine.
That's right. I'll have a blue plate special and a number nine.
Oh, man. I love it when the short order cooks come up with stuff like eggs with legs.
There's a restaurant in Rome. You know it.
Do I?
Frickin' Frax.
Oh, Frickin' Frax.
Rome, New York.
They're famous for wings, I think.
Frickin' Frax Flying Food Factory. I'm not sure, but they might have done the alliteration on purpose.
Friggin' Frax.
And they do. They have some clever little food titles on the menu, and I can't think of one right now. But they're
this
all
always happens.
They're all alliterative. And where I work, a lot of the office people order lunch from there every day.
Yeah, ordering lunch, it's a good thing. It's nice to live in a world where we can order food and it'll just come to us.
And we get food.
Yeah.
Which is will be a topic of discussion a little later.
Yeah, we've got a great show. We're really kind of ticked off in general.
John's pissed again. I apologize to everyone in advance. He's fuming.
Much as I can fume, I'm fuming.
He's just lighting it up right now.
And it doesn't mean I have gas. I'm actually upset.
So anyway, we got a nice letter from Martin in Tasmania, Australia. I love that too, Australia. Want to give
devil.
A shout out. Want to give a shout out to Martin. Hey, Martin. Woohoo! I'm waving,
dude.
Always good to hear from people on the Southern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. Most people who email us are Northern Hemisphere people. He may be the first Southern Hemisphere hemispheroid.
His winter must be closing up right now.
So do they have a cream for hemispheroids, or is that something else?
They lance them. Speaking of lance.
No, we could talk about that, but why bother?
Yeah, I'm not going to bring up Lance's...
alleged allegations.
Alleged problems.
So anyway, hey, Martin, thanks for the email. Yeah. Tell your friends, spread the love, but don't get any on you.
Cool. Yeah, well, I think that we're going to just kick it off with some tunage.
We have some tunage, yeah. Courtesy some friends of ours who are also were gracious enough to supply us with our vino for today.
Yeah, this is going to be, we were just saying it before the show, that a lot of the entertainment tonight is going to be supplied by a single person.
Chris. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, thanks
and,
a lot.
The music tonight, the song you're about to hear, is a bass guitarist and artist named Seth Horan. I really don't know if that's how he pronounces his last name. But that's him, Horan, and we're going to link to him and all that so you guys can check out his website. But here's a track. What's it called, John?
The song is called Explanation.
Cool.
And I hope it starts.
And Am I wasting all my thoughts on trying to say something worthwhile and trying to package it some way that makes you think about yourself? Because if you knew where I come from, you would put my words on trial. Then again, that's better far than if you'd put them on the shelf. Well, this world of degradation relies on your cooperation. Try a new consideration. What you waiting for? Well, ain't your life worth more? You gotta let it ricochet. Well, the words are gonna miss the mark. They're trying to pull a power play, but they're lacking bite and they lost their bark. Well, anyway, you slice, the explanation won't suffice. So mother, may I come inside, because the sky looks dark, dark. I'm hearing nothing but the buzzwords buzzing, causing everyone to think they're ill. They seem to say a nation on medication is a nation that's free. Well, I try to offer chemistry class, but oh my God, how could anyone pass? What with all the missing from education in the mainstream? This world of degradation relies on your cooperation. Try a new consideration. What you waiting for? Well, ain't your life worth more? You gotta let it ricochet. Their words are gonna miss the mark. They're trying to pull a power play, but they're lacking bite and they lost their bark. Well, then that way you slice, the explanation won't suffice. So mother, may I come inside, because the sky looks dark, dark. To shine, and no one ever changed the world by accepting the way it was. Even in music, they made the basses stand in back and learn our places. But before that, the world was flat and the stars just revolved around us. You gotta let it ricochet, the words are gonna miss the mark. They're trying to pull a power play, but they're lacking bite and they lost their bark. Well, anyway, you slice, the explanation won't suffice. So mother, may I come inside, because the sky looks dark. You gotta let it ricochet, or their words are gonna miss the mark. They're trying to pull a power play, but they're lacking bite, and they lost their box, and they lost their bark. I said, anyway, you slice, the explanation won't suffice. So mother, may I come inside, because the sky looks dark.
Nice.
That guy can really play. Yeah. Really cool stuff. On his website, a reviewer compared him to many people, but he said he plays bass like Victor Wooten from Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. I think he's more of a Michael Manring myself. And Chris, if you're listening, you can tell him that. I think he's more of a Michael Manring than a Victor Wooten. Both great bass players, by the way.
Yeah, he's got good chops. Yeah, and generally, when people say I'd like you to listen to something, I always cringe, but... That was good. That was good stuff.
That was really good. And if I'm not mistaken, he was the first bassist to ever sit on the front of the bus. There was something about the... I think he... Alabama many years ago.
Well, you know, he fought for his rights, and now bassists can sit wherever they want.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. Good stuff. Excellent, yeah. Excellent. You know, before we get into the topic of... The main topic, I want to broach on two things that were mentioned on previous shows. We couldn't think of an actor's name. The guy from Aliens. We kept saying Bill something.
Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton.
Yeah. Yep.
He's the guy who said we're all going to effing die.
Yeah, all that good stuff. And he was the guy in Twister, and he was the guy in the ship movie, the ship that sank in 1912.
Titanic.
Yes, that would be the one.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to mention was on my solo show where I had John not seated across from me, I talked about water rights and stuff like that in the country. a little embarrassed that I couldn't think of it at the time, but the country that won back its water rights was Bolivia.
Ah, Bolivia. I knew it well.
Good for them, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, so anyway, John, let's talk about the topic du jour.
And as we talk about that, I'm going to, you know, bring some liquid courage into this whole thing.
You're going to crack the wine,
yeah,
which is also, by the way, supplied by Chris, one of our fans from SUNY College of Technology.
Yep, this is from the El Paso Winery.
Which is somewhere down near Kingston, New York, which is where I think he lives.
Yep, it's called Barn Red Dry Red Table Wine.
Yeah, well, we're going to try it out.
The label looked a little smudged from this angle. It looked like dirty red table wine, but no, it's dry.
It is dry. So what is the topic? Do you want to talk about the hurricane?
Well, yeah, I think it's worth talking about because there's way too much human suffering going on, and you can never talk enough about human suffering and how people aren't doing enough to get rid of that.
I agree. I mean, my initial uneducated, off-the-cuff remark about what happened down there was that the response seemed to be way, way, way too slow.
I think everyone has come to that conclusion.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's a good reason. But, I mean, you know, just looking at it, I the hurricane was Monday, and the storm had to pass, and then the levees broke, and then, you know, it was New Orleans was flooded. But, I mean, most of the relief started getting there on Friday? Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
Yeah, it took 2 days.
What's going on with that?
It took 2 days for the initial response. And then the initial response was just not enough. It was inadequate. And the thing that kind of bugs me is how you can have essentially everyone in this country who's got half a brain saying that the response was inadequate. Poor planning. We underestimated the amount of suffering and damage that was going to take place. The president even came out and said that it was unacceptable and then started backpedaling immediately.
Well, he did a photo op. You know, he went down there and, you know, hugged a few African Americans and rah, rah, rah. But I mean, you know, I really expected to tune in on television Tuesday or Wednesday and see swarms of helicopters.
Airdrops.
Yeah, I expected to see helicopters swarming, like, you know, the old cliche, the cavalry coming over the hill. And I just didn't see it. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? There's people dying on the streets.
It's a major metropolitan area. It's not like this is, you know, just a town full of 150 people out in the middle of Wyoming. Not that, you know, they shouldn't get help either, but it's not a difficult place to get to with planes and helicopters.
Yeah, helicopters can go anywhere. Yeah. I mean, I don't get it. And I mean, there's probably still people dying right now.
Yep.
I mean, what the hell's going on?
Well,
I mean, there is help down there. Thankfully, there's, you know, they're yanking people out of the water and out of their attics and off their rooftops. But holy cats, it's Sunday.
Yeah. And It's awful that this is happening, but what makes it worse is that we went through a man-made disaster in 2001, September 11th, and we in this country said this is never going to happen again. We have to prepare. Homeland Security was put together, and
where were they?
Yeah, and all sorts of money was supposed to be diverted to protecting this country in case of a natural or man-made disaster, terrorism, whatever you want to call it. All this shows is that whatever we've done since then isn't cutting it.
Well,
in fact, not only is it not cutting it, it's probably misappropriation of funds.
Well, I mean, if 99.9% of our resources weren't in Iraq right now, they probably would have had a helicopter to spare to fly in some help.
Yeah, but it also shows that, you know, what ends up happening is, you know, you've got an area that's mostly disadvantaged, poor. This is not Manhattan, where you have, you know, fairly wealthy people in, you know, the Upper West Side or wherever it is. This is a very, very poor region, and people were probably saying, you know what, it's fine. Let's just see how things are going, see how they fare, and that's going to be about it. And then we'll start sending trucks or whatever it is. But I really think that if this were in Los Angeles or New York City or Chicago, the response would be quite different.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, our government is aware of the strategic and otherwise importance of the ports. You know, there are three significant major ports. I mean, it's where the Mississippi meets the
the Gulf.
You know, the ocean, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that they underestimate the importance of that city as a strategic port or harbor or whatever you want to call it for goods and the transportation of goods. But at
but the
end
human
of the day,
beings, though, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that might be.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, regardless of whether they would or would not have reacted differently in a different location, they didn't react quickly at all, and it's inexcusable.
No. And the thing that bothers me right now, and the thing that's making me very nervous, is if there was a legitimate terrorist, if that phrase even makes sense, if there was a legitimate terrorist looking to put the shoe drop, Rich is positioning sound effects. If a terrorist is out there looking for a perfect time to hit this country when they want it to be most effective, right now, because we've shown that our resources are not adequate for a response for this kind of a damage in the country and our infrastructure. Come get us right now. This is the worst time.
The Financial Times of London put up a headline, on the front page of their. This is very well. It's the Wall Street Journal of Europe, basically.
Yep.
And their headline was something like Third World America something yesterday or the day before. And I mean, the rest of the world, of course, is sending their help, thankfully, and we appreciate all the help.
It's like 14 countries, I think.
Australia, for example, is donating $7 million to the American Red Cross. Thank you, Martin and company.
And I think last I heard, Sri Lanka is even sending money. How ironic is that?
Well, there's many ironies here. I mean, mm-hmm. I have a story that's actually kind of long, but maybe I'll share it with you. Back when the tsunamis hit, December-ish, January-ish, mm-hmm. whenever that was, I went to see a band at our local art museum, which is also the museum that does the film series and whatnot that I talk about. And it was a band called Los Hombres Calientes. And they're all out of New Orleans, and it's sort of a jazz band, an Afro-Latin sort of influenced jazz band. And the percussionist and the trumpet player lead the band. And the percussionist, and look them up real quick on the web, John, see if you can, Los Hombres Calientes, because I don't remember their names, and I feel like a real idiot. But the percussionist was talking about, marshaling funds and helping out the people who need relief from the tsunami. And he said, out loud what everybody really knew. Isn't it, sad and yet true that Mother Nature can wave her hand and 100,000 people can die? And he said this, and I thought, wow, he's basically summed it up. And then,
sorry about that. Man. I went to a website and it's got sound effects.
Yeah. So, and then I didn't even think about his words until I saw Harry Connick in an interview, and then it all came flooding back to me that musician, the percussionist from Los Hombres Calientes, made that point. And then I thought, well, isn't it even more sadly ironic that these 7 months later, 8 months later, his home is probably destroyed from Mother Nature waving her hand again. And then it all really came full circle last night when I was watching Larry King and the trumpet player from the band. Is it what's his name? Erwin Mayfield?
I'm not saying first name, but his last name is Mayfield.
He's a wonderful, wonderful trumpet player. He's amazing. I talked to him for 10 minutes after the concert, and he played a little bit, from the streets for Larry King on Larry King's 3-hour special last night about the hurricane. And his father and brother are missing, so he put out an impassioned plea, for some help in finding his family. But I mean, it is amazing, what Mother Nature can do when she wants to.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, no matter how they strengthened the levees, this still might have been a terrible disaster. I mean, this was just a gigantic storm.
Yeah, and everyone keeps saying that this is something that everyone knew was going to happen eventually because of New Orleans' location and all of that. Well, then there should have been more planning. That's all it says to me. There should have been more planning. And I saw that the mayor of New Orleans and the governor of Louisiana, they went on. And they were pretty much ripping the president and this administration a new one. And I think that's well deserved, but there's also some responsibility on the governor and the mayor for having planned this poorly.
I had read that there were funds allocated for shoring up of the levees and stuff, and that money was subsequently diverted, for mm-hmm. the whole Iraq thing. Shoring them up is better than not shoring them up. We don't know what would have happened if they were shored up.
We don't know, but I think that when you start evacuating people, then what you should really do is take all of the money that you got and even borrow some if you have to and evacuate people. I've seen pictures where there are hundreds, if not thousands, of buses that are just sitting idle in Louisiana not being used, and they were supposed to have been used. I don't know.
Well, unfortunately, right now we're still at a probably search and rescue, you know, point. They still need to find some people.
And search and rescue is probably winding down. They're probably looking at just recovery.
Yeah. And then I think what needs to happen is they need to get everybody out of there so they can dry out the city and rebuild basic infrastructure, plumbing and electrical and all that, so these people can hopefully someday return to their homes.
Yeah.
It's a great town. I've never been there. I know you've been there, and I've always been meaning to go there.
Yeah.
To see the Mardi Gras thing.
Yeah,
I mispronounced it on purpose.
Mardis Gras.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a very interesting town. Loaded with culture.
I love jazz. Music. Yeah. I know. Culture there is just is overflowing. I mean, that's a great reason to go there. Like that band I saw, Los Hombres Calientes. Mm-hmm. I mean, and by the way, if you want to hear some good music, check them out. We'd love to play their stuff, but we didn't get permission.
Yeah. We'll see if we can get some permission to do that. Yeah. Yeah, so we're just a little bit ticked.
And if you can, you know what? You've heard it on every television program in the world, but go to the American Red Cross website. We have two links to it on our site now. We're going to link to it again today. John and I both, you know, well, whatever. We made donations. That's great. But if you can make some donations and help out with disaster relief, that would be fantastic. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe we can do two things this weekend. It's also maybe we can cure muscular dystrophy and help some hurricane.
That's right.
It's Jerry's telethon. It's going to start airing in another couple of hours, and I don't think that's a bad cause either.
No, we should definitely be taking whatever we've got. I mean, if people are sitting around saying, I can only give a dollar or two,
give that
dollar or two because it all adds up.
Although, did you notice on the website for American Red Cross, minimum donation $5. So on their website, you can't give a dollar. But you know what? Get your friends together if you each got a buck.
Right.
And then donate that way.
I'm sure that if you've got 15 minutes, you can probably put together more than $5. Just in change, you know, you can probably search around your house and find it. But these people really, really need the money.
Yeah, it's heart-wrenching. You know, it's unbelievable.
And I've heard some great stories, too. I mean, this is one of those things that we're ticked off at the death and depravity of this situation. But there's also some great stories because I even heard on the radio – you know, the best and worst of people is coming out, and the best of people, stuff like guys just deciding, you know what, I'm going to take some time off of work. I know that these people need some food. The government's not providing it. So he went with a bunch of his friends. They all took time off of work. They rented a U-Haul, went to the grocery store, filled it up with non-perishables, and they're driving down to Louisiana right now. I mean, that's great.
Just stay out of their way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're going to be turned back if you get in the way. But, you know, if you bring some food down and drop it off and don't get in search and rescue's way, that's great. Yeah. I was listening to what's-his-face, Harry
what's-his-face?
What's-his-face? Harry Connick Jr. And he was talking about – he was in New York, I guess, when all this happened. He did a little live performance on Larry King last night. He's sort of the honorary mayor of that town. Mm-hmm. You know, he's so well-known and well-regarded when he's not carrying handguns in the airports. But his cousin or something was down there, and he told a story about how the waters hadn't risen very high, and there were all these kids in her neighborhood, and she found an abandoned school bus and just got all these people on the bus and drove them the hell out of there, which is great.
Yeah, and people like Deion Sanders. I don't know what you think of Deion Sanders, the football
player. The singer who used to host Solid Gold?
No.
Oh, that's Dionne Warwick. Never mind.
I think they're cousins. No, Deion Sanders, he had a press conference and said, look, every professional athlete should be donating money to this effort.
Kobe Bryant gave $100,000.
Yeah, and I think he said, if every professional athlete gave at least $1,000, and I'm pretty sure that most of them can afford that.
I'm thinking, yeah.
And I think they should give more. If you can afford it, give more, definitely. But I think he said if every professional athlete gave $1,000, that would be great. And I think if they did, there would be millions pouring in. That's even more than what the Red Cross has.
I know one of the other guests on Larry King's show was Magic. He's getting all the NBA people heavily involved. And he, of course, is a quadrillionaire. I mean, he's inching up on Bill Gates, the amount of wealth he has. He's giving ridiculous sums of money.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Bill Gates Foundation is probably going to be dumping some money to this, too.
I have no doubt. I haven't heard it yet. But, you know, despite my issues with the way his company does business, he's pretty generous with the $100 billion he has liquid in a bank account right now.
Yeah. No, it's... It's a very sad situation. I think we should all do our part.
Yep. And please do. Please do. And if you have already, thank you.
Yep.
So we've got another song, and it's another song by that little the band that I played when I did my solo show. It's a band called Rattle Basket. this song is called World Today. It has nothing to do with the
world today.
It has nothing to do with hurricanes. They're a very socially conscious band, and you know, they write about a lot of things, but you know, this song has nothing to do with what's going on necessarily right now in terms of natural disasters, but I think it does have a lot to do with what's going on today in terms of political climate and mm-hmm. things like that. So this is a pretty cool tune, and why don't you play it? Guitars will sustain for a while.
What is the matter with the world today?
There's a lot going on in the world today. They wrote about a lot of stuff. The lyricist in that band, Teresa Tree, you know, very political, you know, very political. And she used to write a lot about world events and all kinds of stuff like that. And then in one of the upcoming shows, I've got another tune we'll play again. And we're going to mix it up. We got some more jazz coming up in the next couple of weeks from some local artists. And All kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, she's probably sick of hearing it, but there's like an Alanis Morissette feel going on with her vocals.
Do you think? I think she's going for 1960s blues singer, drunk herself to death.
Janis Joplin.
Yeah, she's really a big Janis fan.
I don't know.
So, you know, that's what she's really going for. Good stuff. I like those guys. We're going to play some more stuff, like I said, in the future. And we have a new topic now.
Yeah. You know what's the matter with the world today? Gas prices.
You know, I disagree, but why don't you go ahead?
Well, gas prices are going up, and Rich and I have a, I don't know if it's a disagreement. I think it's a...
I don't think we have a disagreement at all.
No, I think that there's a problem. The end result is that gas prices are going up. Rich doesn't think that that's too much of a problem, but I'll let him describe that or explain that. But I just want to tell a little story. I filled up my gas tank. I was on Thursday morning. I was on my way to work and said, well, I'm running low. I better fill up. Regular was $2.78, which wasn't, you know, it wasn't great, but it was...
it's in keeping with the prices we've had in this area for a while.
Yeah, I mean, up in New York, we have a little bit more taxation on gas, so our prices are a little higher than down south, I think. I was on my way home that same day, and it was $3 even for regular. I'm like, wow, good thing I filled up. And then I think it was Friday morning, I was on my way to work passing that same pump, and it was $3.19. And on my way home, it was $3.45. And it was just over the course of 24, 48 hours.
Went through the roof, 50, 60 cents. And I'm sure most of you have seen some price increase. some gouging. I mean, pricing. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you
I said mean, some price
slip.
Some price increases like that. I'm sure you've all been witness to some of those.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard back and forth how, you know, in Europe, everyone's paying $6-7 or used to paying the equivalent of $6-7 a gallon. And
they certainly do pay more.
Yeah, and how we've got it great here, so we shouldn't
be complaining.
We certainly
do. Yeah,
we do. But the way I feel about this whole thing is that someone is making a whole bunch of money on the backs of people who shouldn't have money taken out of their pockets this way.
Well, you know, we all know that the gasoline that was in that tank underground that you were pumping into your vehicle that day was not like a new load. It's not like they suddenly got a new load in with a price increase from the refineries or something. You know, they're just raising the price, like you said, on speculation. But they never seem to lower it on speculation.
No. I mean, I've seen prices go down a little bit. But it's always a ratchet effect. I mean, it'll go up. And we'll never see prices go down. I don't think that we're ever going to see prices go down below $2.50 for regular again.
Probably not. Never.
No. And I have a feeling that there is some collusion going on there. I'm not a conspiracy theorist per se. But,
collusion.
But I certainly think that there is
college word.
Yeah, I did go to college.
Wow. Several he has another word on our whiteboard is no longer called the gigantic whiteboard of truth. What's it called now, John?
It's called the enormous placard of verisimilitude.
That's right. It'll get renamed once every few months. And somebody wrote a little note on there like, ooh, big word. You guys are smart.
No, so I'm not horribly upset because, you know, I'm blessed that I can afford to pay for gas, even if it goes up to $5 a gallon for regular. It'll make me rethink taking long trips in my car. It'll make me rethink about taking another job where the commute is an hour every day.
Well, and hopefully it'll make people think I need more fuel efficient cars.
Mm-hmm.
We need more fuel efficient cars.
Right.
I mean, I don't disagree with anything you said. However, I think we have been spoiled, you know, and in Europe and other places around the world, they're paying much, much, much more for gas than we are. For example, Martin in Australia, you know, leave us an email. What are you paying per liter or gallon or whatever it is that they measure, you know, fluid volume by in your great country?
Probably liters. And you know, don't even worry about the conversion. Send us what the gas prices are.
We can handle the
conversion. We'll do the conversion and figure out, you know, how much we're paying in comparison. And I would be willing to bet that we're still paying less.
John, I was told there'd be no math.
No, I said no wagering.
Oh, that's right. No wagering. So, you know, I have friends in Germany and they're paying, you know, twice. So they were paying. Yeah, they are paying what was twice what we were paying. And I, however, think high gas prices are a good thing. You know, I think these people who drive these gigantic SUVs, and I know there's one on the market called the Extrusion, for example,
excrement.
Don't mention names, but it's a four-letter motor company. That's four letters in the name, and they have a vehicle called the Extrusion. I didn't say
it's not the Extrusion.
It is. That's your word. I actually stole that from you. I heard you say that out loud about a year ago. But I mean, what is this thing getting, you know, miles per gallon? Ten miles per gallon? I mean, that's pretty
expensive. It's the other way around. It gets gallons per mile.
Exactly. I was going to make that joke. You stole it from me, jerk. But
I don't like is seeing people driving a Hummer to the grocery store.
This is obscene, the kind of gas mileage these cars get. I mean, I said this a long time ago, and now we're seeing it. We're seeing some collaboration between different manufacturers. I think Chrysler and one of the other big manufacturers is doing some collaboration on their hybrid, you know? Mm-hmm. I said this out loud back when I used to run a computer BBS in, like, you know, 1989, 1990, 1991, all through those years. We used to have a networked room where we talked about vehicles, automobiles. And I said, and of course, this will never happen in a market, but I said, you know, all of the big automakers, Chrysler, Ford, Mercedes-Benz, of course, now they own Chrysler, but mm-hmm. back then they didn't, BMW, which does have a state-of-the-art research facility, but they ought to pool their resources. Each of them throw $1 billion a year at this mutual research center, put it in Switzerland. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But what they need to develop is a super fuel efficient four cylinder and a super efficient six cylinder engine. And then they can all use this technology and manufacture this engine and put it in appropriate cars. You know, I'm sorry, but I don't think anybody needs to drive that gigantic extrusion vehicle or whatever it's called. If you got a family of six, that'll fit in a minivan with a V6, which is going to get three times the gas mileage. I mean, you know, these things have to have a 30-plus gallon tank, right?
Oh,
when they're getting that kind of fuel economy.
Filling one of those things up is $100.
Yeah. It's $100. Yeah. I mean, and they're being punished right now. And I think a lot of these, they've priced a lot of these vehicles so that, you know, middle class, whatever you want to call it, people are buying these things, but to pay $100 per tank full is really going to start hitting these people in the pocketbook, mm-hmm. which actually I think is about time. You know, we need to have more fuel efficient cars. That's just the bottom line. Cars that aren't as fuel efficient are polluting and they're releasing more greenhouse gases. And of course, this administration denies that there's any problem with global warming. But I think pretty much every credible scientist in the world at this point knows that there is. And by the way, it's been speculated, and I wondered this myself, if tropical storms aren't going to get more severe due to global warming. Hello. I mean, it just makes all the sense in the world.
No, I think that, you know, as I get older I don't know, I swing back and forth. You know, when I was in college.
You're swinging both ways, are you, John?
Not that way. When I was in college, I think that I leaned heavily on the left, or what most people consider the left. As I graduated and you said, yeah, rah, rah, got a job, making money, you know, want to keep all my money, screw taxes and all of that. You know, I started swinging way more to the right, and I think I'm settled down right in the middle. And I'm thinking that people really need to be responsible consumers. Yeah. If you go out there and you make your money, you can spend that money on whatever you want. But I think that as human beings, as part of a community, as part of a world community, we need to be responsible. And I think that, yeah, we can. I'm not going to go out and burn someone's SUV, but, you know, I'm going to probably shake my head. I'm going to shake my head and say,
I'm going to make fun of them on our show.
It's too bad these people are spending so much money on something just to be the biggest thing on the block.
And I don't even know if that's it, you know? I mean, it's all propaganda, whatever word you want to use. It's this myth that we've been told as Americans. I can't speak for any other country, having not been born and raised in another country, but...
well, you know, should have been.
I know. Damn it. I wish I were. Was-er. you know, we've all been fed this bill of goods, right? You know, you're all going to grow up and you're going to get married and you're going to have 2.2 kids and you're going to have a dog named Rover and you're going to have two vehicles in a garage. And if you're really good, maybe you'll get an in-ground pool. And right now, those two vehicles are SUVs, of course, you know, that people have to have in their garage. And they just don't need to be SUVs. You know, there's a lot of fuel-efficient vehicles out there. You know, I mean, I thought about this mathematically. I mean, I've thought about this in more scientific terms. There are always going to be cars on the edges of the bell curve, right? There's always going to be those hybrids that are on the more fuel efficient, we'll call it the right side of the bell curve, that get 50 miles to the gallon, 60 miles to the gallon. There's always going to be the Ferrari Enzos that get 6 miles to the gallon for a reason. They're supercars. They can go 200 miles an hour.
But you don't drive to the grocery store every single day with them. You have your kicks and you...
Hopefully on a racetrack.
On a racetrack.
Yeah. And Then there's the rest of the cars, which fit more into the middle of the bell curve. But now the middle, the Ford extrusion or whatever that thing is called, is a middle of the bell curve car in terms of how many people have them, right? That's the middle of the bell curve in terms of the way it's priced and the amount of consumers that own them. But in terms of where it falls on the fuel efficiency bell curve, it's way to the fuel inefficient side.
Right.
And that's just not right. Those things need to be in line with each other.
Yeah. And then there's, well, you know, to pat Ford on the back because they're also, you know, jumping on the bandwagon.
There'll be no patting
to mix metaphors. you know, they're also producing their midsize or small SUV in a electric hybrid version. And
they're discontinuing this extrusion, by the way, which is great because it's literally the size of a small aircraft carrier.
They're not discontinuing it because of responsibility. They're discontinuing it because of sales.
Well, of course. Yeah. We're in a market economy. Hello. Yeah. That's why people do things.
But what
the
I was saying is
the market, right? Right.
This small SUV, I think it's, what's it called again? I can't remember it. I think it starts with an E.
Edward.
Yeah, the Edward. But then I saw a review of it, and they're saying, you know, you've got this highly efficient vehicle. It's all-wheel drive. It's a lot safer than a small subcompact vehicle. It's responsible. And then they come out and say, and it gets 30 miles to a gallon. They had to actually hook this thing up to an electric motor to make it get 30 miles to a gallon.
But there are cars out there that's a number that's respectable.
Well, it's respectable, but there are cars out there that are getting about 30 miles to a gallon without the hybrid technology that's adding the premium price to it.
Yeah, and there are cows out there. There's cows out
there
too.
There are cows out there that have so much more energy inside them.
you know, 30 is a number I can live with, though. And hopefully it's just going to go up. I mean, they need to reduce the weight of these vehicles, you know, these big SUVs, which aren't – it's a myth that these vehicles are necessarily safer, by the way, just because they're big and they're heavy. But we won't go into that right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of studies that they've done, you know, where
– How well is it engineered? I mean, that's the key.
If you're in an accident with them and you go up against a subcompact, chances are you're going to do better.
That's physics. I mean, that's mass.
But you hitting a tree, you're probably not going to do any better than any other car that was engineered well.
Yeah, and we all know there's lots of well-engineered cars in terms of accident, you know, worthiness, Volvos and Audis and all that good stuff. There's plenty of options out there. And by the way, each of those vehicles offers an all-wheel drive if you're worried about
it. Yes.
Lord knows we get a little bit of snow up here in central New York every once in a while.
I was just going to say that. We have
Subaru.
We have killer snowfalls here, and all-wheel drive is not just a cool thing to have. Up here, it's a safety consideration. I think that most people should have a car with all-wheel drive because it gets some – it gets really dangerous in the middle of winter in January, February.
There is a big difference. And all-wheel drive is better than four-wheel drive, by the way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a sticky, whatever.
But you don't need an SUV to have all-wheel drive because they're building cars now that are all-wheel drive that aren't huge, giant, muscular SUVs.
Yeah, and they have fuel-efficient engines in it. And I'm making a call for everyone to drive more fuel-efficient vehicles. And in the summer, I'm making, why not walk every once in a while or ride your bike? I mean, you know, there's other options out there.
Telecommute, if it's
And plant
possible.
Some trees. Yeah. Let's actually
let's hit everything right now. Plant some trees.
Let's actually reduce carbon dioxide by planting trees. Well, I was reading in the Utney Reader yesterday about people who feel guilty by traveling because of all the CO2 emissions of vehicles and aircraft. And like you can become guilt free by paying this organization to plant trees for you. So you know, for every trip you take, you know, if you plant so many trees in a year, this number of trees will reduce carbon dioxide. And that's not a bad idea in general. I think it's a good idea to plant trees and reduce carbon dioxide because that is a problem. Stop that.
And they're beautiful.
I love trees. And unlike that famous rotund AM radio person who says the only good thing you can do out of a tree is make something out of it, I disagree.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And boast nerdly.
Anyways.
Yeah. Well, I don't know
that's
who you're
our impersonation.
About. Yeah. I got nothing else. You know what? I lied. I do have something else. I've been meaning to talk about this for a few weeks. I'm making a call to Hollywood right now. Not a phone call, but I'm
phone's not down here.
Speaking to Hollywood right now, and you know, not that this film was high art, but I really want to see a sequel to My Cousin Vinny. I thought that was a really funny film. And talk about films that don't require sequels. They make them all the time. But this was a funny character.
Talk about movies that we just don't have to have.
Yeah.
Forget sequels. I mean, who needs The Dukes of Hazzard?
Right. Yeah. And the Dukes of Hazzard 2 when that comes out. And Starsky and Hutch 2.
Right.
But My Cousin Vinny was a funny film. And that character could be compelling, say 5 years in the future, you know, do another film with Joe Pesci and Marissa Tomei, that over the top woman that she played and won an Academy Award for, by the way. And so I'm calling on Hollywood to make a cool sequel, a funny sequel to My Cousin Vinny.
And by now, Ralph Macchio looks at least 30.
Yeah, and he doesn't even need to be in there. You know, they already saved Ralph; he's good to go. I mean, let's just get what was his name? Vincent Gambini, or was that Macchio's character? He was like somebody Gambini.
I don't know, but the judge is dead; they can't bring him back.
Yeah, no, they can't bring back
Herman Munster.
Yeah, but what's his Fred Gwynn? He's so great. He was so great. But anyway. I don't know. I think we're getting pretty close to the end. What do you think?
Yeah, we're getting long here, and that means the klaxons go off.
Yeah.
It's another
show. That really makes the neighbors angry when we do that, doesn't it? I mean, because that's actually in the yard. That's actually in John's yard, and we have a mic next to it.
All I do is I raise my finger, and one of my children starts hitting the klaxon.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great thing we have going here.
Yeah, next show I'll probably start talking about some... television shows that I like that I wanted to talk about now, but there's just not enough time.
Yep.
But we are Bloodthirsty Vegetarians. You can get to us at www.bloodyveg.com, and
if you've got any feedback, email it to feedback@bloodyveg.com. We're still looking for audio feedback of any kind, photos for our photo gallery, which you can email to
feedback. No, it's feedback@bloodyveg.com.
Cool. So keep it coming.
Yeah.
And remember, you're listening to VIB.